And I will ask you to stand as you are able. Oh yeah, I forgot about Children's Church. Sorry about that. The children are dismissed to Children's Church. In the Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter, the 24th verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this: God is spirit, who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And in the letter from James, in the 5th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, it says, are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are there any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All right. I want to start this by asking the question, what does God give us? Now, the easy answer to that, of course, is everything, you know. But I want us to be a little more specific. I want you all to tell me something that is a gift from God. Grandchildren.
Grace.
Grace. Healing.
Good health.
Good health.
Relationships.
Relationships.
Life.
Communication, wisdom,
talent,
eternal life, all good things come either directly or indirectly from the Lord God Almighty. Can I have an amen on that?
Amen.
Now then, God gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. But there is something in our covenant with him that he asks for something back. And it is only what he is due. And that is our worship. You know, even though God deserves to be worshiped, even if he gave us nothing just because he's God, when we look at all that we have received, worshiping him should be our natural response, shouldn't it? I mean, shouldn't that just spring forth like, you know, somebody opens the door and you say, thank you. All the things that happen to us all the time, we should be having these worshipful experiences. And in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament times, one of the ways that they worshiped God was they had burnt sacrifices. Now, don't get too caught up in the analogy, okay? Because we don't do that anymore. But they would take this perfect, perfect lamb, and they would offer that lamb to God in a burnt offering. But we don't offer burnt offerings, do we? And God doesn't actually need anything we have any more than he needed that burnt offering. He doesn't need, God doesn't need, you know? So what could we possibly give him in the way of worship that would be pleasing to him? Folks, under the new covenant, there are three things that God asked for. We're going to talk about the first two today and the other one next week. But the first two are, he deserves our praise and he deserves our prayers. I don't know how many of you think of it this way, but actually prayer is a form of worship. Now, when you are, you know, just lying down to go to sleep and, you know, dear Lord, bless me, my wife, my son, his wife, us four, no more, amen, then, you know, that doesn't actually constitute worship. Our prayer lives, I have noticed, tend to get set aside. You know, it says we're to pray constantly. You know, without ceasing is what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. That means our entire life is supposed to be lived in this worship. I wonder what the world would look like if just Christians did that. You know, I'm not talking about the whole rest of the world. What would the world look like if all Christians lived praying unceasingly, worshiping God? I mean, we could still fulfill our regular task. We could still keep going. I mean, when God said pray, you know, without ceasing, he knew that we had to fix dinner and run the vacuum cleaner, and he knew that we had to go to work. But in all of that, we can be in a place of praise. But only if those prayers are a worthy sacrifice. I hate to say this, but my prayers aren't always a worthy sacrifice. Are yours? You know, there's times when, well, there's times that, you know, I'm a little mad at God over something. So, yeah, I love you, Lord. It's kind of like me and Ross, you know. Yeah, I love you. You know, and, you know, Ross and I tease all the time and go, love you, Ross. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, that's how God and I are, too. Not thinking that you're God, Ross. Just saying. Don't get the big head on that one. Yeah, don't put anything in his head. But I mean, it's just, I don't give God my best. I don't give him in my prayers what I would call as worthy a sacrifice as I've got. So today, we're going to talk about what it takes to make our prayers more praising. And I want you to think of it like we are preparing the fatted sheep, the fatted calf, the animal. Just think about it in those terms, but don't carry the analogy too far. Prayer has to be fattened by faith. Say that with me. Prayer has to be fattened by faith. What do I mean by that? The only prayer that is acceptable prayer is a prayer of faith. If you are talking to God and don't believe that, number one, he hears you, or number two, that he's going to be inclined towards you, or if you don't believe he's capable of doing what you're asking him to do, why are you bothering? Don't bother. It is the prayer of faith, with as much faith as you've got. Okay? It doesn't mean your faith always has to be perfect. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm praying for this, but I'm afraid, therefore God's not going to hear my prayer. No. Pray with as much faith as you've got, and God will give you more. Okay? Pray with all the faith that you can muster, even praying the prayer, God, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Remember that in the scripture? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm giving it all I've got. And how do we have faith? Remember, okay, this is a quiz. For the last 3 weeks, we have defined faith. Faith is what? Belief in God's word, his promises, and acting on that belief. That's the biblical definition of faith. I can believe an airplane will fly, but not have the faith to get on one. God's asking us to get on a plane. Take him at his word. And every time that we take him at his word and act upon it, we're fattening up the faith. Our prayers have to be tended by truth. I'm starting to be afraid for truth. You know, a lot of people don't even think it exists. A lot of people will say, you know, well, it's what's true for me is not true for you. Let me say this as clearly as I know how. If it's true, it's true. And if it's not, it's not. And there is no such thing as true for me and not true for you. If it's not true for everybody, it's not truth. It's an opinion. Truth is truth. And there are certain things that are completely, absolutely, 100% true, and we are supposed to align ourselves with that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. It's true. The fact that God is not dead is true. There are certain things that are just universally true. And we have to be in alignment with truth. But it's so easy for us to fudge, isn't it? I never really realized how hard it is to be truthful. To not lie either by omission or commission. I had a minor surgery this last week. And the last time I told you guys I was going to have a surgery to have a cyst removed, you went ape. So I didn't tell you this time. Because everybody was all worried, and I knew this was nothing, which, by the way, folks, it was nothing. All right? But Ross came up after Wednesday night. See, I wasn't going to tell anybody. I wasn't even going to say that I'd had surgery. But when I was propping up, you know, teaching, I winced because I pulled on the stitch. I don't know which one I pulled on, but I pulled on one of those stitches, and I just winced a little bit. And of course, Ashley noticed that and said, "What's wrong?" And every fiber of my being wanted to say nothing. But I said, "I had a minor surgery, and it's nothing." The first thing out of Ashley's mouth is, "You're not going to die, are you?" Now, if Ross had asked that, he'd be asking for life insurance. But but it's one of those things, you know. It's just like I could not, in good conscience, say nothing. Even though my intention was that you guys wouldn't worry. But you have to tell the truth. You really do. And that's just not as easy as it sounds. But if you are not truthful in your life, how can you be truthful in your prayers? Anybody ever lied to God? Yeah, let me see the hands. Fess up right now. Who has lied to God? Yeah, I've lied to God lots of times. John, you have. John says, "I'm too old to remember," but yeah. It's one of those, and you know, it's all those things that you say that you want to believe, but you don't. You know, when you're in hard times and things aren't going right and you're just keeping that smile on your face and, "Oh yeah, God's just handling it. Yeah, God's going to take care of it." And inside you are dying. But you keep that smile on your face. "Oh yeah, everything's all right. Yeah, it's good. You can't pray a lie, folks. God knows how you feel. I learned that in hard times. If you're mad at God, he already knows. Go ahead and get it out. Because you have to be truthful for your prayer to be worthy. God can handle the truth. Prayer has to be unblemished by us being innocent. That means that we cannot be knowingly sinning. For your prayers to be acceptable to God, you can't say, yeah, I know this wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway, and expect that that prayer is worthy. That prayer, I mean, God wants to answer our prayers, like I say, yes, no, maybe, but it is always based on whether or not we are doing our best to not knowingly sin. And that's another hard one. Every once in a while, I just want to say, God, would you mind just looking over there for just a minute? Just look the other way for just a minute, because I really want to say this, or I really want to do that. Can you just turn your head for just a second? We have to stay innocent. And that's hard to do in this world. If you're going to stay innocent, you better be careful what you're putting in your mind. The songs that you listen to, the stuff that you watch, the things that you read, the pictures you look at on the internet. All of these things take away our innocence. Don't knowingly do things that you know are wrong. And when I say cleansed by righteousness, what I mean by that is that, folks, not only we can't just abstain from not doing the wrong thing, you got to do the right thing. You know, doing the right thing most of the time makes you feel good. Doing the right thing is not as hard as staying away from the wrong thing. Doing the right thing can usually be fun. It usually brings with it its own reward. But sometimes it's hard to do the right thing because the world's not always with the right thing. Sometimes it's hard. Most of the time it's fun. Most of the time it feels good. Most of the time when you give and you serve and you do all these things and you do them for other people, how do you feel? Blessed. Feel good. Feel happy. I just love doing stuff for people, particularly if they don't know it's coming. I love doing just little stuff. I've done little stuff for a lot of you all through the years, but this last week I saw something that I just had to buy Tracy. It said, always late but worth the wait. And I saw that and I said, yes, I've just got to get that for, and I couldn't wait for it to get here. I was telling people it was coming before it ever got here, but don't tell Tracy. I was just so excited to give that to her just because I knew it'd make her smile. I almost got Dan one that said, yes, of course, I'm right, I'm Dan. But I decided he might take that too seriously. It's fun to do good things. It's fun to be a blessing. It's fun to bless others. Most of the time. And it's those things that charge our prayers. And prayer has to be escorted to the altar with the sound of praise. You know when you ought to praise God the most is when you feel like it the least? That's really the truth. You know, there are times when you feel so bad. And the last thing you want to do is praise God. When it says, praise God in all circumstances because this is God's will for you, it doesn't mean that you're praising God for the circumstances. What His will for you is the praising part, not the circumstance that you're in. It's His will that we praise. Why do you think God wants us to worship Him? Has He got like a big ego? Is God just like sitting up in heaven on the golden throne, just going, yeah, give it to me? Is that what God's doing? No, because God doesn't need your praise. I got news for you. God is complete in and of Himself, and He does not need your prayer, your adulation, your praise. You mean who needs it? Yeah, we do. We were created to praise. If we don't do it, we are not fulfilling what we were created to do. Have you ever tried to use a hammer when you really needed a screwdriver? Yeah. You know, I've got a couple of people that, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I firmly believe if you can't fix it with a hammer, it's not fixable. You know, if you break it, you need a new one anyway. A hammer should be able just to fix just about everything. But, you know, it wasn't intended that way. We were created to praise. And if we don't, we're the ones that suffer by it. Now, I know that everybody here has offered up prayers, and if you're offering up a prayer, chances are you want it heard, right? You want your prayers heard, you want them answered. We've already talked about that God says yes, no, and wait. But we want our prayers to be answered, and if we want them to be answered, we have to offer them in this way. The scriptures that we read this morning said, the prayer of the righteous is powerful. Powerful. That's what we need, folks. You want to change the world? You want to make it better? The power of prayer is the only chance of doing that. Because there's so many things that we have no control over. But God does. Wonder what He would do if we prayed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.